podcast from the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod's Office of National Mission. This is God's Mission Here.
Thanks so much for joining us. I'm your host, Deaconess Tiffany Manor. Today we're going to be talking about God's mission in some places that are in communities just like yours. So joining me today is one of my colleagues whom you've heard before, Stephanie Neugebauer, and I have the privilege of introducing the Reverend Jonathan Maynor, Director of LCMS Pastoral Education. I often like to joke that we have the same last name, and it's, we're no relation. We're just married. So it's the first time I've ever been on a podcast with my husband. I'm pretty sure.
Oh, no way.
Right?
I think so.
Yeah. Yeah. We've not had you on the other podcast series that we've done. So this is fun. So welcome to God's Mission Here. Please introduce yourself and tell us a little bit about yourself, Jonathan. Or, I could do it and you could see if I'm right on or not.
Thanks for having me. It's a joy to be with you today. I have the privilege of serving in the Office of Pastoral Education here at the LCMS, Director of PALS and Continuing Education, opportunity to work with Worker Wellness as well that we'll be talking about today. So parish pastor for 18 years and now been here for three, and it's a joy to serve in those different vocations where the Lord has led me.
Yeah, and the danger of being on where your wife is hosting is for me to say something like, you forgot the most important part, our family.
Of course.
I was thinking that, but.
That was in professional mode. Please share personal mode as well.
That wasn't really very fair of me to include that. But and of course, as I would prioritize it, we need to tell people about our grandchildren, right? And of course, their parents and our children. So
I guess, but the grandchildren, of course.
Yeah, so we're parents to four kids. We've added a couple along the way with the spouses of our children, and we've got a bunch of grandbabies, and they're just the delight to have to spend time with. So, but let's get back to the actual topic of our podcast, and that's God's mission. So let's start with the basic about God's mission, like where it is and who gets to be involved. So, Jonathan, how would you describe to people what God's mission is?
I think we all know that God desires that all are saved and come to a knowledge of the truth. And through his mission, Christ is bringing that forgiveness and life and salvation to people everywhere. So for each of us, that starts right where God has placed us, in our homes, our family and friends, our neighborhoods, our churches and schools, in the specific community where we're located. God's put us where we are here, and we often think of mission far away, and it can be at times, but it begins right where God has placed us.
Oh, it sounds like you've been serving in mission work for a while. And I've been along for the ride as you've served in several communities. So what about worker wellness specifically? How would you describe worker wellness as being related to the mission of Christ Church?
Well, God certainly works through his people to accomplish his mission in the place where he has put us. And he gives to his church the workers to preach, pastors to preach God's word, workers to teach God's word, all for the salvation of God's people through Christ. So as those workers serve his church, they're better able to do so as they're healthy and well in body and soul. So as a church, we strive to care for our workers and their families, to support them in their overall wellness so they can continue to serve well in the place where God has put them.
Yeah. Now, one strong emphasis we have in worker wellness is on the encouragement and the appreciation of our church workers. Their vocations really can be demanding. And throughout Christendom, there are various dates, and in the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, we've established October as Church Worker Appreciation Month. And as we're recording, it's not quite October yet. Mm-hmm. If you could tell us, what is at the heart of having these Church Worker Appreciation Month, and then the additional dates that we have throughout the year, and even talk a little bit about the church workers that are included in those appreciation efforts.
Yeah, I think that we all know that our LCMS ordained and commissioned workers dedicate themselves to working tirelessly to serve the church and school, their communities, That service is joy-filled, but it can be challenging at times. At the heart of these appreciation days, though, is the opportunity for everyone in our churches and schools to acknowledge those realities, to express our thanks for the dedication and the sacrifice and the service of those church workers as they do share the love of Christ. And so, as you said, Tiffany, we have October as that kind of kickoff month to appreciate our workers, our pastors, and our the other seven commissioned church work vocations that we have. These are workers who we invest in as a synod. We train, and we the Lord calls us to them to serve and their different vocations. So as we look throughout the year, October is a busy month for appreciation, pastor appreciation, October 12th. October 25th, we recognize deaconesses, directors of family life ministry, directors of Christian outreach, and directors of church ministries. In April, on the 26th, we recognize directors of parish music. In May, the first full week of May, we recognize teachers, our Lutheran school teachers, and show our appreciation for them. And then at the end of June, the 26th, our directors of Christian education as well. These are wonderful opportunities for us to specifically and purposefully recognize and appreciate the workers on those days.
Jonathan, as a mom of three young kids, I am just starting to be overwhelmed by the number of days that we have to recognize. So there's, you know, Mother's and Father's Day, there's Teacher Appreciation Day, there's Grandparents Day. We have to send in things for Valentine's Day. It can be very overwhelming. And I have seen and heard people say, like, these things have been created for Hallmark to sell cards. Silly stuff like that. But why would you argue that Church Worker Appreciation Month and these specific Church Worker Appreciation Days are actually worth us adding one more thing, quote unquote, to our calendars to be able to stop, pause, and recognize? What does that do for the church to recognize that as a collective? And then what does it do for the worker when we recognize and appreciate them on those specific dates?
Yeah, all those things you mentioned are wonderful opportunities in our families. And in the church, though, we also need to be very specific about caring for our workers. And these are our opportunities to do so. You know, across our synod, in our churches, in our schools, we're continually living our life in Christ. And that is interwoven with, well, really central to all that we do and all the other things that we have as far as activities and things as well. But we're united in Christ, not just in our own congregation, our own school, as we think about this from across the synod. You know, church workers don't serve in isolation from one another. Churches and schools don't exist in isolation from one another. We walk together. And we know from Ephesians, wonderful passage that I love, this is one, that there is one body and one spirit, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. So as we think about that unity, as we celebrate that unity, we're blessed as an entire church body to collectively recognize our church workers, to encourage them in their service, as they encourage us by sharing Christ and his forgiveness and his love. And so we do take the time to specifically point out each of those days. And yes, it's one more thing on the calendar, but it's a joyous opportunity to celebrate each of our church workers.
I like how you describe that, because, you know, sometimes I think about the intentionality, and if it's something that doesn't get marked and put on the calendar, we may not be very intentional in doing it. You know, birthdays are something we also celebrate in our culture. Every year we celebrate a person's birthday. We get to appreciate them and thank God for them every single day of their life. But you know, we mark and set apart this time to do that, and so why would we not do that for our church workers, you know, along with the other vocations that you pointed out, Steph. You know, it's important that we think about, too, how we keep that encouragement going when it's not the dedicated month or week or specific day. So, Jonathan, as we think about, you know, the average listener, you know, whether that's a lay person in a pew or, you know, a church worker in the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, or, you know, perhaps even out there further in Christendom who might be listening to this podcast at some time in the future. Why is it so important that we recognize the church workers, you know, both in the formal ways, but also in the informal ways?
You know, I think that as God puts us in relationship with one another, we have that joy to share with one another and to recognize one another. And as, you know, the person in the church, in the school, to be able to do that for the church workers, I think it really is emphasized. Again, one of my favorite passages from Hebrews chapter 10 tells us to let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful, and let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works. You know, perseverance in ministry comes from that power of the Holy Spirit at work in the life of the church worker. As members of the congregation, recognizing church workers and showing appreciation to them also stirs them up to love and good works. And so as we take that opportunity to recognize them, as you said, on the day, but also throughout the year and different opportunities that just come up as we think about them. And as we take the time to do that, we do stir up one another. And so, yes, it's about encouraging the church worker, but it's also about encouraging one another as we live in that relationship in Christ.
So far, we've talked about the general idea of encouraging and appreciating, but what are some like real practical ways that specifically congregations and the people who make up their congregation, what are some ideas that they can do? And maybe you can go the range from here's just a really simple way that you can show appreciation or encourage your church worker, or hey, if you're looking to go all out, here's a fantastic idea that you could do every 10 years or every 5 years. I'm just curious to hear from you, Jonathan. Maybe it's from your own experience as a parish pastor, but then maybe it just happened to be in meetings that we've had together to come up with ideas for our church workers.
Yeah, we have talked about this, and it's, I hope we could all make a really long list, but there are some definite ways that, as you said, can go from just the very simple to the very complicated and complex, but yet all of them opportunities to show care and appreciation. You know, one of the wonderful things that we can do for our church workers that we all can is to pray for them. Pray for them regularly. And I would encourage you to tell your church worker that you are praying for them. Ask them what you can be praying for them if that's comfortable. It's as a church worker, I know that meant and it always means a lot to me to know that others are praying for me and to have opportunity to share with them some of those prayer needs. Right along with that, you know, writing cards of appreciation, thank you notes, as Tiffany said, on those specific days, birthdays, anniversaries, work anniversaries, but also just in general, hey, was thinking about you, and sending that card. You can do the same just with a text message. In our day today, it always meant a lot to me too to just receive a text that said, hey, thinking about you and praying for you today. Those are some very kind of simple ways. You know, there's opportunities to be in relationship as a member of a church or school with your worker, whether that's grabbing a cup of coffee together, treating them to a meal at some time. You know, you can include the families on this. If there's opportunity, take a family out to dinner or give them gift cards to go out themselves. Maybe offer the opportunity to provide some babysitting for them if they have children that's a need so that they can go out and enjoy a meal together.
That was my favorite. When our kids were little, and we were far from family, right? We were always hours and hours from family. And so there weren't any built-in babysitters and grandparents. And we had on a couple different occasions, families who would keep our kids overnight so we could have a little getaway. And sometimes it was just, you know, that we stayed at our own home without kids there and right. spent a night at a congregation member's. But even just, you know, the odd, you know, Thursday night, which was kind of like our Friday night because Jonathan always took Fridays off, where they could, somebody could come over to the house and put them down for bed and we could go out for dinner without four small people helping us to be spectacles in public at a restaurant.
Indeed, yeah. Yeah, those are wonderful opportunities. You know, a lot of those things are individual with individual people, but as a church family, entire congregation or school, you can do some things, you know, hosting a reception in appreciation, whether that's on an anniversary date or a birthday or something, or just in general to support them. Maybe it's on one of those specific work appreciation days, hosting a special reception on the coffee hour that day. And as you mentioned, Steph, you know, there's opportunities to go above and beyond here too. Maybe somebody in the congregation has a vacation home or a Airbnb or something like that that they could give to the church worker and their family for a period of time, you know, each year or occasionally, as you said, every few years. Very much a bigger thing, but a really kind and appreciative thing as well.
What I think is really special, if you don't mind me adding, is that your church, your home congregation, and I just, for those who aren't aware, I am also married to a pastor, so I'm speaking from the perspective of pastor's family as well. And your church has a unique composition of people with gifts and talents. And I think it's absolutely beautiful when a congregation acts out of the gifts that individuals have been given to support their church workers. So, for instance, I, on the way to church, ran into a curb that I did not realize was as large as it was, and like stripped off one of the side bumpers of my van. And someone in our church, they own a body shop, and they, for free, now I'm not saying anyone is beholden to this, but for free, they completely redid our bumper on the side of our van, which was just such a blessing to us. So I do not know how much that would have cost, but it would have hurt, you know, to be able to have to pay for that out of pocket. And I mean, story after story, people are more willing than I think church workers realize to come around their workers and support them and their families. And I think it really helps too if you happen to be blessed with cute young kids that they really want to embrace. But I do think it is a beautiful vision of the church and the church at its best when they pool resources together to support each other, particularly their church workers. I know, Jonathan, you told me a story of your family being blessed with a snowblower one year for, I don't know if it was just randomly or for something specific, but I tell you what, stuff like that, it will keep you going for months.
Yeah, I'm sure Tiffany has some that she can share too. Yeah, the snowblower was an ordination anniversary gift from one of my congregations. You know, we have been blessed over the years to, you know, I mentioned the vacation property thing. We had a congregation member who had a beach property who would let us use it once a year, and that was just a wonderful time to go and relax. So there's the grand gestures, but I tell you what, the preschool kids dropping off cards, the high school youth filling up my office with balloons and that kind of thing is wonderful ways to receive that appreciation as well. In fact, I've put up bulletin boards in my office so that I can put those cards and those paintings and the kid who walks out of church with a picture for me and gives it to me. That makes me smile and feel appreciated. All of those things do. So it is definitely from the small to the large to the, you know, everything in between. And like I said, maybe Tiffany has some things there too, but we've been blessed for sure in those areas.
Well, I remember when you mentioned that about your ordination anniversary, I did not realize as a pastor's wife. So, I mean, I'm, you know, married to a pastor and I didn't realize this. So I can't imagine that the average layperson in a congregation would understand that that pastors know and mark their ordination anniversaries, oftentimes very silently, individually, on their own. But if you ask any pastor the date he was ordained, he's going to know just like that, off the top of his head, the date. And he knows how many years he's been serving since his ordination. And that's, you know, it's different for each pastor, the day. They're not all ordained on the same day. So it's not like the church worker appreciation dates we put in the calendar. But when a milestone anniversary comes, that can be a pretty significant way that congregations could remember his service to the entire church. You know, there's also, you know, probably a collective memory of approximately when pastor was installed, or maybe people even remember the specific date of his being installed at that congregation. But that ordination anniversary carries a lot of weight with pastors. So I would encourage anyone who's listening to ask their church worker when they were commissioned or ordained, And for the church workers who are listening, if that's as important to you as it seemed to my husband and to the other pastors, as once I, you know, had my eyes open to that, I would encourage that you might consider sharing that with your congregation, your school ministry, or the other ministries that you serve. Those milestone dates for you. Jonathan, for any of the church workers who are listening, what other encouragement would you have for them?
You know, I would say that, you know, for each one of us as church workers, God has called you to a joyous vocation to serve his people. And we know it can be challenging at times, but please know that you are making a difference in the lives of the people that the Lord is giving you to care for and serve with the gospel of Jesus Christ. And you are appreciated by your people, by your congregation, your district, your synod. And I think what both of you have just said, too, sharing the important things in your life, and whether that's ordination or dates or installation or commissioning or just asking for help in certain things. But you are appreciated, and the Lord has put you in that place. And I pray that would be known to you always, that you are appreciated for what you do to serve the Lord and his people.
Do you mind if I just give a segue, too, for the families, the spouses of church workers, mm-hmm. the children of church workers? As much as unique of a calling, of course, as church workers have to the church, to your local context, even though a wife or a husband doesn't have that, you know, call, they're still very much supporting their husband or their wife who is in a called worker position. And that isn't without sacrifice, too. Like many other jobs that require sacrifices from both the worker and the spouse, church work is like that in many ways. And whether it's sacrificing your husband who's a pastor who has weeknight meetings, and so a mom is left to put kids to bed by herself, you know, yet again for the third night in a row, or because there's a youth meeting and there's an elders meeting in the evening, whatever it might be, or for the kids who have to, bless their hearts, tag along for meetings after church, or whatever it may be, that's a special sacrifice, but also it's a really high honor. And so we're very thankful for those families who are willing to hold up their family member who's in church work and to encourage them as well. And a reminder for our congregations to be able to, as they look at their church worker, look at their church worker spouse and also the children, to be able to embrace them with compassion and love and understanding for what they give and what they may have to give up at times.
Sure. And the same for the single church workers whose families are sacrificing as well, oftentimes very far away. And the single church workers may be lacking some of the support systems because they have relocated and moved far away from their families of origin, and some of the friends and acquaintances that they have from university. And so our single church workers at times can really take on even more burdens of the ministry because it's perceived that they've got extra time. So, you know, not only are you teaching in the classroom all week long, but hey, you're a rostered worker. Why don't you add youth ministry on and spend, you know, your nights at church and your weekends as well? And so, you know, we really do need to consider all of the vocations of our church workers and their family members that live with them in the places where they're called, and the sacrifice of their families who are far away as well. Thanks so much for bringing that up, Steph. That's an important thing for people to be thinking about. Well, the last question I have is really for both of you, Steph and Jonathan, because I think you both know some things that could help our listeners to find more resources for appreciating and encouraging their church workers, both during the designated appreciation dates and then all throughout the rest of the year.
Yeah, it's great to just go to lcms.org, and on the main page you can search worker wellness, and you can, there's a section there that talks about recognition and connection. You can also just search thank you cards, and that'll take you to a page that shows opportunities to show gratitude for your workers and different ways that you can do that. We'll have social media posts throughout the year, especially on as we approach each of those days. Steph, anything else?
Other than that, we created a list together with the help of our mighty communications team here at the LCMS that we'll post hopefully via, you know, social media or else a link on our website. We do have a specific worker wellness landing page on the LCMS as well. Basically, what that is, it will be a concise list of ideas for church leadership or individual congregation members to show appreciation and to encourage their church workers throughout the year. And then, as Jonathan said, on our social media pages, specifically on our LCMS social media page, we will have reminders of when these appreciation dates are and ideas along the way too.
Well, thank you, Jonathan, for joining Steph and I today. It's fun to be in a podcast with you, and I'm glad the listeners get to hear some of your experiences that you've had over the couple decades you've been serving as a pastor. And we appreciate all the listeners tuning into God's Mission here.
Thanks for joining us. If you liked what you heard, please leave us a review and don't forget to click the follow or subscribe button so that you don't miss out on upcoming episodes. God's Mission Here is a podcast that discusses Christ's gifts of forgiveness, life, and salvation, and how He delivers those gifts where you live and serve.